If you could turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. As I was giving Corbin some instructions today, as he is sitting, this is one of his few times where he has sat without a parent through a service. I was giving him some instructions, some exhortations. And I said, now, Daddy's the preacher tonight, so I'm not going to try to preach long. And he gave me a time frame of 1 minute. I don't think I'm going to be able to hit that. But he gets those things. Daddy, can we do it for 10 minutes? Daddy, I want to play with Legos for 5 hours. And I'm like, Corbin, I want to play with Legos for 5 hours. I told him, I said, I won't try to make you sit for a long time tonight. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and the upholding all things by the word of his power. The last few parts of that passage is speaking of Jesus and his glory and his power. And today I want to preach a message to you. Jesus is better. No matter the promises that this world can give us over success, over joy, over happiness, the enticing, the temptations that we can receive from this world, Jesus is better. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your Son and everything that he's done for us and how he paved the way through his death on the cross, through his sacrifice on the cross, that we could have freedom from our chains of sin. Lord, I thank you for how he loves us and how he cares for us, his compassion towards us. Lord, as we look at Jesus tonight, Lord, I pray that we would just have a moment and a time of worship together and a time of gratitude towards your Son and the work that he has done on our behalf, a work that we could not hope to even measure up to, that we could never succeed to accomplish on our own. In Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, we see 13 times the word better. Now, I know many people sometimes you say, Brother Dietrich, Jesus is better. No, Jesus is best. It's true. But for sake of keeping with what the Bible says, we're going to use the word better because that's what the word, that's what Hebrew uses. Hebrews uses 13 times in Hebrews, we see the word better. In Hebrews chapter 1 and 1 verse through 2 through 18, we see that he is better than the angels. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 through chapter 4 verse 13, we see that he is better than Moses, the man who wrote the law. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14 through chapter 7 verse 29, we see the idea that he is a better high priest. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 through chapter 9, verse 28, we see that he is a better mediator of a better covenant. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 39, he provides a better sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through chapter 13, verse 25, he is the author of a better salvation. Ultimately, if you were to sum up Hebrews, you could put it this way, Jesus is better. All through the book, all through the Bible, from Genesis to the cross, you can see a lead up to Jesus coming into the picture to be the redeeming power that the world needs to pay the penalty of the world's sin. Jesus was the only one that could provide that necessary sacrifice for us. Jesus is better. With all the people in the past that we could choose, I believe that if a life goes on without Jesus, No measure of success will be enough. No entertainment or popularity will bring enough happiness, because without Jesus, you are not living the best life. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 through 27, it says, By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Basically, what it's saying here is priests had to keep coming into the picture. The Jewish religion had to keep having new priests and new priests, because they were men. They were moral men, and they kept dying. But Jesus, as our high priest, he is unchangeable. When he came into the office of high priest, he's not moving. He is there for us. He is an unchangeable high priest. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Many times, one of the struggles that we deal with in the Solomon Islands is the struggle of eternal security. And I often take Solomon Islanders to this passage where it says, for this he did once. And I said, when we put our trust in what Jesus did on the cross for our sins, it's not a payment. We don't have to keep going before the cross and saying, I've messed up again, please save me. No, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he died once. And that death covered the penalty for the sins of the whole world. Only Jesus could cover such a cost, could cover such a penalty. Friends, I want to say to you, a life with Jesus is the best life.
Amen.
A life in service of him. And please understand, I'm not talking about a life in service of him on the mission field, a life of service of him and ministry. I'm saying a life, your life, in service of him, sold out for him, is the best life. I want to look at a couple things tonight with us about how Jesus is better. The first thing I want to look at tonight is, with Jesus, we have a better friend. In John 15, verse 11, we see, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. One of my best friends, I knew him. We attended college together, and he to this day remains one of my best friends. And any time that with my path of life and his path of life, we oftentimes go weeks or months without being able to have a good sit-down conversation. And sometimes I'll call him, and he doesn't answer. And he's infamous for just not answering. He just does not answer his phone. Why is that? Because he's a human friend. He's not always going to be there when I feel like I need, when I want to talk to him. But friends, we need to know that with Jesus, when we call on him, he's there. He is an ever-present friend. He's present. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. even unto the end of the world. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 5, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is an ever-present friend. No matter what turmoil we are facing, no matter what trial, struggle, temptation we are facing, He's there to encourage us. He's there to listen. We also see that Jesus is our friend. He's holy. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, for such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He is a friend that will never lead us astray. He is a friend that will never influence us to do wrong. He is a holy friend. But also He offers us something that no other friend could even dream of giving us, and He gives us salvation. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. I remember when I was 9 years old, I'd been struggling with my eternal standing for months, but I was too afraid to bring it up because I had made a profession of faith earlier and I had gone through baptism. I had baptism, and so I thought, here I am, a pastor's son. I've been baptized, but I don't think I'm saved. And so for weeks I fought pride, and I fought pride because I didn't want to come out. I made a false profession of faith. I didn't really believe. I didn't really understand what that was. And now that I had understood, I was too afraid to admit it. But finally, I came to the point where I realized that there is no other way to get the salvation that my life needs. There is no other way to answer this sin problem that I have in my life than to admit that I need Jesus, and He is the only one that can give me salvation. Jesus is a better friend because He gives us salvation. But also, Jesus is a better friend because He improves us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, being made declared righteous, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been declared righteous, and because of His sacrifice, and because we have, as Christians, have believed on that sacrifice, we are now at peace with Almighty God. That's a wonderful thing. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Only Jesus can work in us in a way to improve us to where we can be effective Christians. He improves us. But He's also caring. We see all through Jesus' ministry on this earth His caring nature. He healed the sick. He wept over Lazarus, His friend. He looked upon the multitudes and He was moved with compassion. Dying on the cross, He cared for His mother. He was a selfless man. He was caring. He cared for all of those around Him in a way that we could never imagine. Studying the life of Christ recently, I've begun to notice how oftentimes when I'm on the phone with friends and they're sharing struggles, I need to do better at listening. Because what sometimes happens is I fall into a human habit of they share their struggles and then I share my struggles. But friends, when we share our struggles with Jesus, He listens. And He sympathizes. not one of these things where it's a echo chamber of sorrow. We can go before him and we can say, I'm struggling with this. And he understands. He cares for us. He gives us compassion. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then when Jesus is our friend, we see that he's unchanging. Friends can change. Our earthly friends can change. They can make decisions that will lead them in a different path. And sometimes it's for a path that leads them away from Christianity, that leads them away from a desire to know the Lord better. But with Jesus, our Savior, we know that he is unchanging. He never changes. He is the same today, to yesterday, and forever. There's an excerpt when we're thinking about Jesus as our friend. I was reading an excerpt from a book that John Bunyan wrote, Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. And he gives this idea of a conversation as if a Christian was to approach Jesus, or a person was to approach Jesus and have this conversation. No, wait, we say, cautiously approaching Jesus. You don't understand. I've really messed up. Have we messed up? I've really messed up in all kinds of ways. I know, he responds. You know most of it, sure. Certainly more than what others see. But there's perversity down inside me that is hidden from everyone. I know it all, he says. Well, the thing is, it isn't just my past, it's my present too. I understand, he says. But I don't know if I can break free of this anytime soon. That's the only kind of person I'm here to help, he says. The burden is heavy and heavier all the time. Then let me carry it. It's too much to bear. Not for me, he says. You don't get it. My offenses aren't directed towards others. They're against you. Then I'm the one most suited to forgive them. But the more of the ugliness in me you discover, the sooner you'll be fed up with me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. John chapter 6 and verse 37, it says, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. There is no friend on this earth that can compare to the character of our friend in Jesus Christ. He is our friend. But secondly, with Jesus, we have a better focus. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Friends, with Christ in your life, you have a better focus, because our focus should be on the eternal and not on things on earth. We can spend so much time focused on the things of the world that this world has to offer to us. I think oftentimes it can become cliche, but we can often focus on this quite a bit. Yes, it's a handy device. Boy, this is very nice for the last 2 years where I've tried to keep up with the ministry in the Solomon Islands. This has been a blessing. I'm thankful for it. It's aided keeping the ministry running in the Solomon Islands. I'm thankful for this. But friends, this can also be a deterrent to our needed focus. Where is your focus at? Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, a very familiar passage of Scripture to many of us. I just want to focus on this for just a short time. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. A very simple verse, but it's actually, let's look at verse 20, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. In verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When we think of time, where do we place our time? We place our time in things that we treasure. And here the Bible is saying, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So friends, what are we investing our lives in? What are we treasuring in ourselves? What are we treasuring in our lives? Are we treasuring? Are we keeping the focus that the Bible has commanded us to focus on? Jesus can provide that focus that we need. With Jesus, we have a better focus. Also, as we are working through hardships and trials, He can help us with that focus as we walk through trials. I think of Matthew chapter 14, verse 29 and 33, when Jesus is walking on the water, and Peter says, "If it's you, let me come out to you." And we all know the story well, but as Jesus begins to make His way towards Jesus and walking on the water, what happens to Peter? He loses his focus, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he sees that the wind is boisterous and the waves are big. And as he takes his eyes off, he begins to sink, and he begins to get into bigger trouble because he lost his focus. Friends, as we are going through trials, as we are going through heartaches, Jesus needs to be our focus. With Jesus, we have a better focus. Then lastly, with Jesus, you have a better finish. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 through 14, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul lived an exceptional life in his service for the Lord. And at the end of it, he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He says, "To the best of my ability, I kept him as my focus. I kept him as my friend. I kept him as my focus. I kept him as the central part of everything I did." And as we read Paul's writings, we can see clearly that Paul had no regrets in the end of his life. Handling the past, we see forgetting those things which are behind. You can have a better finish, and you can handle the past by, with Jesus, forgetting those things which are behind, and also handling the future. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, as we press towards the mark, as we go on in our life, as we have desires in our spiritual growth, as we have desires for people that we know need to be reached with the gospel, Jesus can help us with that. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 and 8, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, it says, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not, for I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. With Christ, you have a better finish. I remember Dad telling me the story of a lady, a pastor's wife, in, I believe it was in Missouri. Her name was Mrs. Helwig. And she found out from the doctor that she had a terminal illness and she only had 3 months to live and that there was nothing that they could do. And the doctor came in and he sat down and he said, Mrs. Helwig, he says, I have some very unfortunate news. And he said, you don't have long to live. And he said, there's nothing that we can do. He said, we can give you some painkiller to ease your passing. But he said, there's just 3 months. And she looked at him with a smile and she said, oh, doctor, you haven't given me bad news. You've given me good news. And you said that I have 3 months. She's like, can you give me a painkiller that will not dull my mind? Because she says, I have a lot of work to do. Her husband told my dad that when she got home from that doctor's appointment, she began writing notes to people. And what many people didn't know about Mrs. Helwig is she had a book, a prayer book, that she had been praying for people for years. And as she was writing notes, she was checking people off the list to make sure that she had gotten them a note. And she would write something, I've been praying for you for years. I've just found out that I only have 3 months to live, and I want to see you on this date. And her husband told my dad that as the weeks went on by, people were coming in, one after another. She would sit down with people and she would say, I've prayed for you, for your salvation, for this many years. And she says, don't make me go to heaven, not knowing I'm going to see you there one day. And her husband said, I believe that my wife led more people to the Lord in her last 3 months of life than she did in her whole life. But she realized, with those 3 months that she had, I have my focus, and I need to keep my focus to the end. And Mrs. Helwig had a wonderful finish. Friends, I look at my life and I think of the things that I let distract my life, the things that I let come into my life and deviate my focus, the times where I have trusted more in other friendships and other helps that this world can give more than my one true friend. And that he is the only one that can give me a wonderful finish. Friends, as we look at Hebrews and as we look at what it's saying, Jesus is better. Jesus is better more than anything that this world can offer. The trinkets of this world do not compare to what Jesus can offer.